True love that gave us a brand new beginning. No room for a king, no celebration and no ceremony. In that little town, no, nobody will think. This is the story of the coming glory. Can you hear the prayers the people pray? Can you see the skies begin to break? When heaven and earth were face to face, oh, how the world forever changed. For God is with us.
Everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Life Walk with Christ God. You can come on over to the Trim Radio Network. You can listen in. We broadcast live all over the world, and we have some great merchandise. So if you'd like to buy some merchandise, I'll tell you what, we'd love to see you in it, and it helps us stay on the air. Anyway, following that, I'll tell you what, if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. It is so easy to do. And with that, the opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information that is given here, anything that we talk about, is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, and it's just that simple. Anyway, this great song right here, For God Is With Us, is from King and Country, is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, as always, 866-1667. That's area code 803. So 803-866-1667. And we are going to move on right from there, and I'll tell you what. It's real easy, folks. Last week, we're in the book of Joseph. We're talking about Joseph and everything that is going on with him. You know, Joseph has gone through a lot. And just to do a quick recap on that, he has gone through an incredible amount of pressure. So from the time of his father, he had these dreams. He told these dreams to his brothers, you know, and basically the dream was is that, hey, you're going to end up bowing down to me. And his brothers did not like that at all. As a matter of fact, they were absolutely livid with Joseph for even talking about such things. So, you know, as their jealousy grew, he went back and he told his father the second dream that he had, which was just that. And his father even said to him, you mean we're all going to be bowing down to you? And he took note of it. He didn't really say anything else to Joseph, but he did take notice of it. And one day after that, you know, the boys were tending to the flocks and doing the different things that they're supposed to do. And the father had commanded Joseph, hey, I want you to go check on your brothers. I want you to see what's going on. I want you to make sure everything is okay. And Joseph went. He went and did this. And he couldn't find them. But he ran into a stranger along the way. And he said, listen, have you seen, you know, my brothers and seen what's going on? And he said, of course, yes, they're down here. And they're taking care of, you know, the doing whatever, taking care of the animals and everything. Joseph goes to check, and as he's walking up upon his brothers, they look at him and they say, oh my goodness, you know, here comes the dreamer. That's how they referred to him. Here comes the dreamer. And they all decided to combine together and they said, let's slay him and take his coat that Father had made from him and sewn together. And we will tell him, hey, he was attacked by an animal, and we'll be done with him, because they were angry at him. And the youngest brother, Reuben, had said, listen, no, let's not do that. He is our flesh and blood. Let's throw him into the pit. And then what we'll do is, you know, we'll tell Father that he was attacked by the animals and everything. And what they did was they threw him into the pit. And the Ishmaelites came by, and of course, they got him out and they sold him to him. Well, Potiphar, he came by, Pharaoh's group, and he came by and he bought him from them, from the Ishmaelites. And then Joseph was now this slave, taken into slavery. And of course, Joseph, you know, God shined on him. And his brothers took his coat and they rented it and killed a goat, poured it all over the coat, dipped it in it, took it back and said, oh, Joseph was, you know, is this Joseph's coat? And of course, the father said, yes, it is. Oh, my son has been torn to shreds. He's been rent and torn up by an animal and is no more. So his father was in despair, inconsolable. And they you know, couldn't control himself at all. And then the brothers, I'm sure that they had felt bad because of this and tried to comfort him and wasn't working. But now Joseph is in Potiphar's hands. And of course, he has done a great job. Potiphar puts him in charge of everything that is in his house. He is the captain of the guard. And that's what he is. Just below the king of Egypt. He is the captain of the guard. So he's in charge of all this. And he has said, okay, anything that's here, Joseph will handle it all. And Potiphar's wife, because Joseph was a good-looking man, she takes notice of him. And right away, she is hitting on him. And he has just, listen, I'm not going to sin against God. I don't want to do this. And you are, you know, I am the servant, your husband, you're his wife. What are you doing? So one day Joseph goes into the house and all of a sudden she hits on him and she's alone with him. And she's not letting up. She's relentless about it. Joseph starts to run out. He is fleeing evil. He wants no part of this. And as he's running away and getting out, his garment is left behind. And then when Potiphar comes home, she tells him, look, you have brought this Hebrew, this Jewish person in the house, and he wanted to take liberties with me. And, you know, I had to scream to get him off and scream all on out to where Joseph was put in jail. Potiphar was livid, as any man would be. He was mad. Threw Joseph in jail. Joseph's in jail, and God still had favor on him. And as he's down in the prison, the guards like him and put him in charge of everyone in the prison. So he's handling all the affairs in the prison now. God hasn't looked away from Joseph at all. But Joseph has become humble. Remember, he bragged to his brothers about the dreams. And now here he is. He's went from being tossed into a pit from his own brothers, had his coat taken, everything happened to him, sold as a, you know, a slave and everything, and now he's in this prison thing. And as he's in prison, he meets these two people, the butler, and he goes ahead and he meets the cook. And they have dreams, and Joseph tells them their dreams. One was going to be restored to his spot, and one was going to die by hanging. And the cook was going to die by hanging, and the butler was going to be restored. And it came exactly how Joseph said it. Exactly how he said it. So now he's in this prison, and all of a sudden, the king, he has these dreams. And he summons all the magicians, all the great powers all around him to interpret his dream. King Egypt, everybody, you come here, tell me what this dream means. It's troubling me. None of them can interpret it. But Joseph does. And of course, the dream were there were these seven beautiful fish. And all of a sudden, seven more came along. These were healthy and fat. And they ate up the healthy and fat ones. And, you know, a very similar dream after that. The wheat grown up, the bad stalks all of a sudden ate good stalks or whatever it was. And Joseph interprets a dream for him. And he tells him, listen, this is what it is. You will have seven good years of food and everything else, followed by 7 years of famine. So it gives him a chance to prepare. And Joseph, after he interprets this dream, and Joseph tells King, listen, you got to put somebody in charge that's going to make sure that they maintain all this, gather all the food during the good part, so that there's enough food during the famine, during the bad years. And the king looks at him and he says, it's you. You had the dream. Your God let you have this dream and interpret it. Where am I going to find any other wise men wiser than what you are? I'm putting you in charge. And he does so. And he says, here's my ring. Put it on your finger and you handle all this. So during those 7 years, Joseph is stockpiling food, grain, corn, everything that's going on. He's stockpiling it. Wheat, he just, everything, putting it in storehouses. So much so that he couldn't even keep track of it all. It's beyond what he can number now. And of course, the years of famine kick in. So what happens? Jacob's father turns around. He says, listen, boys, I want you to go on down. I heard there's food in Egypt. Go on down there and go buy some and come back so that we won't die. We won't starve to death. And so they do. The brothers set off and they go down there. Well, as they go in to buy food, Joseph recognizes them. They don't recognize him, but he sees them. And he's in this perfect spot to where he could get even with his brothers. If I want to have them killed, I can have them killed. If I want to have them put in prison or tortured, I could do that. He's in a powerful position now, being second in command, and he doesn't do that. He looks at him. He's a little harsh with them. He looks at him and he said, you know, what have you come to do? And they said, listen, we're come to buy food. And, you know, our father has sent us and everything. And he said, surely you are spies. You've come to spy. And, of course, he says, one of you will be held back. So he sends the rest on their way because they told Joseph their father was, you know, alive and their youngest brother, Benjamin. They told him the truth. So they go back to the father and he says, surely I don't want to send Benjamin. You know, my other son, Joseph, was already killed. Now, my youngest one, what should happen to him? And Reuben steps up and he says, listen, if anything happens to him, I guarantee I will come back or I won't come back. So Joseph then says, okay, one of you will stay, and acts like he's in prison, but he's not. Joseph's feeding him well, taking care of him, and he wants to see his father, his younger brother, Benjamin. And back in chapter 43, and they set on for him by himself and for themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to the birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled at one another, and he took and set messes unto them and before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they were drank, and they were merry. See, after they brought Benjamin back and everything, Joseph let them know, hey, here it is. I'm here. I'm eating and doing everything. And we're all merry. And, of course, the brothers were a little worried. You know, Joseph, he had made haste for, you know, his bowels did yearn for his brother, and he had sought where to weep. He had to go into a chamber to weep when he saw him. So they don't know everything yet. So here we are in chapter 44. Let's continue on from there. And watch what happens here. This is going to be pretty incredible. Now you're caught up. We've you know, talked about everything that's happened. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food. So he is now putting more food in to their sacks and everything. And of course, they have to go back to their father now. And they don't know quite what's going on. They know they're getting treated well and everything else. But let's go there. So hang on, guys. We're going to go right there. And it's going to be very interesting to what is going to happen. And I just love this book. This is a great book. You're going to be wonderfully, wonderfully satisfied after we go through this. So let's start again. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food and as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And he put the cup of silver in the sack's mouth of his youngest, and his corn money, and did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Now, when they left the first time to go get Benjamin, if you remember, they paid this money, all in shekels, all this silver, and Joseph, without telling them, put the money back into their sacks. So when they got home to their father, to Jacob, and they got home and they said, listen, look at this. The money's here. And they said, well, maybe it was an oversight. Maybe something happened. But Joseph on purposely gave them the silver. And the father said, listen, in case it's an oversight, I want you to put myrrh. I want you to put balm. I want you to put, you know, here's some extra, twice as much as what I sent you with the first time. And give it to him as an oversight and ask for forgiveness. So that's part of the reason why he's doing this now. And Joseph was a little harsh on him, it's true. But we're going back to it. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent on their way. And they, their asses, and they were gone out of the city, and yet not far off. Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after men, and when thou hast take them over, and say to them, wherefore, ye have rewarded evil for good. So now Joseph has done something. He's put in the silver cup and everything into Benjamin's bag, and now, because they don't know what's going on yet, I want you to, you know, as they're far off, I want you to go ahead and overtake them. Is it not fit in which the Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spoke unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore said my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do accordingly to this thing. Basically, he's saying to them, you stole something. I do all this good for you, and you steal from me? And behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of the Lord's house silver or gold? With whoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we shall also be at my Lord's bondmen. We shall be your slaves. And he said, now also let it be according unto our words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then he speedily took down every man's sack to the ground and opened every man's sack. So now here they are. The brothers are there. They've got Benjamin. They've got everyone. And of course, Joseph knows exactly whose sack the money is in. He knows this. So he is now giving, you know, them a chance. He told them, listen, I'll hold the rest of you blameless, but wherever the money is, whoever I find it with, I am going to punish him. So he searched, and again, he began at the eldest and left the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. So now Benjamin had the silver cup, but Joseph knew this all along. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah, his brethren, came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto him, what deed is this that you have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I certainly am, I'm divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we cleanse ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do this so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get up, and you go in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thy anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asks his servants, saying, ye have a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, the little one, and a brother is dead. And he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And he said unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto my servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when he came up unto thy servant, thy father, we told him the words of my Lord. And the father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, unless we go down, we may not see the man's face, except our younger brother be with us. And thy servant, thy father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn into pieces, and I saw him not since. And if I take you also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became the surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I shall see the evil that shall come on my father. Chapter 45. Now Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go on out for me. So he sent everybody out. He's crying. He's upset. You know, because now he knows, God, my father is alive. And Benjamin is my youngest brother. So now He's standing there after he's been told this. And he causes everyone to go out. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. So now, after he sends everyone out, here they are, all his brethren. And he's letting him know, guess who I am? And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. So imagine, the ones who wanted to have him killed, and of course Reuben saved him, here he is in front of them. Now they have sold him into slavery. Joseph's gone through everything that he's gone through. And all of a sudden, they're in this situation where Joseph could do anything he wants to him. And he messes with them a little bit, but as he's sitting in there, he sends everybody out, all the guards, everybody else. Remember, he's number two. And just his brethren are there in him. And he says, look, I'm Joseph, man. And they are just in awe of how can this possibly be? And Joseph said unto his brother, come near me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. So instead of getting mad, instead of hating, instead of doing all those things, Joseph has told them, listen, don't be upset. God had a reason for this. God had a purpose for this to happen. And it saved lives. Joseph certainly has been humbled. He is looking at the big picture. God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which we shall neither be earing nor harvest. We got 5 years to go, guys. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God did this, guys. We are blessed. You're blessed. God put all of this in motion. And here we go. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus said thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. Hurry up as fast as you can. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and shall be near unto me, thou, and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that you have. And there I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou, thy household, and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. So here we are in chapter 45, and we're going to stop for just a second right here after verse 12. Joseph has revealed himself. Here I am. Don't worry about it. There was a reason for it. And God is good. I'm going to put you in the land of Goshen. I want you to bring dad, bring father. all of you, bring the entire families, bring your flocks, bring everything that you have, and get down here. And don't waste any time, because there is a terrible famine in the land. And I will make sure that you're taken care of, because I am the Lord of all this land in Egypt, the one person under Pharaoh himself. And he's got the ring and everything. Can you imagine what they must have been feeling at that second? And guess what? As he dreamed that they would bow down before him, they bowed down before him many times. Now here we go, verse 13, chapter 45. And you should tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and that all you have seen, and you shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto your brethren, and this do ye, laid your breasts, and go, and get unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin, his youngest brother, to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 500 and five changes of raiment, and that's changes of clothes. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn, bread, and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said unto him, see that you fall not out by the way. I want you to hurry up. Don't get distracted somewhere. Don't go anywhere else. Do as I'm telling you to do. Do as Pharaoh told you to do. Go there, load up, and come back, and don't make haste. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And he told them, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go see him before I die. That's amazing. So Jacob's family is now, he is so ecstatic, and now he knows that his son's alive. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. And of course, you have to remember, that was his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And the reason for it was, is when, if you remember, Jacob was wrestling with a man in the night, and it turned out to be God. And God touched him on the hip and gave him a hobble. So don't forget that. That's why we're seeing that. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Okay, so, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. And God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not and go down into Egypt, for I will make thee of three a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thy eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives in wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, for which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came unto Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all the seed he brought with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok and Phallu, and Hezron and Carmi, and the sons of Simon, Jemuel and Jamin, and Ohad and Jachin and Zophar and Shuel, the son of the Canaanitish woman, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, and the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez, and Zaran. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez, and Hezron, and Hamuel, and the sons of Issachar, Tula, and Phuvith, and Job, and Shimron, and the sons of Zebulun, Sered, and Elon, and Jehiel. And here we go. These be the sons of Leah, in which she bare unto Jacob, in Padanaram, with his daughter Dinah. And all the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. So we've gotten to this where there's all these sons and everything, and it's going to keep going down. You know, the sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, and Joseph and Benjamin, and unto all the land of Egypt were born all the children and everything. And of course, they're all being taken care of because of Joseph. All the souls that came with Jacob into the land, and we're on, matter of fact, chapter 46, and we're just going to skip right to verse 26. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of the loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born to him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came unto Egypt, were 66. And he sent Judah before him, going to Joseph, to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren, unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh. And I say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And these men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from your youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and said, My father and my brethren, and their flocks and their herds, and all that they have, are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spoke unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. If thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old are you? And Jacob said back to Pharaoh, The days of my years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So Joseph still has a job to do, and he's still doing it. Remember, everybody is trying to buy food, and Joseph is giving Pharaoh all the money. Here you go. I'm giving it. So, and when the money failed in the land of Egypt, and of course we're in verse 15, chapter 47, when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth? And Joseph said, Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle, if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for their horses and for their flocks and for their cattle of their herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him a second year, and he said to him, We will not hide it from my lord how our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in our sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he removed them from the cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not. For the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and he did not eat their portion of them, which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall not sow the land. And it shall come to pass and increase that you shall give The fifth part unto Pharaoh, and the four parts shall be your own, for the seed of the field, and for your food, and for them in your households, for your in your households, for the food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved us our lives. Let us find grace in thy sight of thy Lord, and we will be in Pharaoh's, we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have one-fifth part, except the land of the Pharaoh's priests, which became not Pharaoh's. Jacob blesses the family in Egypt. So Joseph now, just to give you an idea, is really wise, because he as the Egyptians themselves have run short of everything, Joseph tells him, hey, listen, we start off, okay, sell me your horses, your cattle, and all this. And then they keep coming back to him, hey, listen, we're out of food again. You know, don't let us die here. And he says, I'll tell you what. All right, hand the land over. Here we go. Hand the land over. So he had their money. He had their horses. Now he has their land. And Pharaoh has it all. He's got everything. And Joseph says, here's the deal. You will give one-fifth of everything that you grow, everything that you make, everything that you do. You will give one-fifth of your household to Pharaoh. And make sure that you feed your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. They're happy. Let us find grace in thy sight, my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. So, unto this day, Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except of the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. They had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so that the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And time drew near that Israel must die. And he called his son, Joseph, and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear it unto me. And he swore it unto him. And Israel bowed down himself upon the bed head. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph, come unto me. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now my two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came up unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And the issue which thou begattest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after their name of their brethren in the inheritance. So he's telling them, okay, here it is. Here's the deal. This is what God said. This is what they're going to inherit. And as we go along here, because I've got to be wrapping this up soon, here we are, chapter 48, verse 7. And as for me, I came from Padan. Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way. And she was there but a little way and come to Ephraim. And I buried her in the Ephrath, and the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand. And he brought them near unto him, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He shall also become a people. He shall also be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. And in his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee Ephraim, and as Manasseh, as he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. So understand, here he's dying now. And Joseph knows this, and he's pushed his two sons in front of him, Ephraim and Manasseh. And of course, the older one, he's not blessing first. He's blessing the younger one, because Jacob knows what's going to happen. God has already informed him. So out of all this, imagine, his dad has come to see his kids, which he thought he'd never even see Joseph again. His brothers never thought that. And Joseph is taking care of them. So we're going to stop right here, chapter 49, because it's going to get more interesting. There's some things that are going to happen now that Israel, or Jacob, is going to be, is going to die. So we're going to start next week. And of course, I always put a little pen mark in here where I stop. But we're going to stop right here, chapter 49, Genesis 48. And today is, 11:05. Next week, let's see what else happens here. Because everything is now changing. Jacob's gone now. So we're going to see how that affects the brothers. We're going to see how that affects the rest of the family. Does it affect the rest of the family in a negative way, a positive way? But that's where we're going to come back to. I thank you all for joining me in Life Walk with Christ God. You know, if it helps one person, I am grateful. I am blessed. That's the goal here. It's to help people get to know God, how God works. And in this book, you can surely see yourselves. God is a miracle worker, and does marvelous things. Things right before our eyes that sometimes today people don't, they don't understand. He's alive and well. He performs these things now. We just have to look for it. And they're pretty significant if we pay attention to him. Learn about him. He will give you peace, relieve your anxiety, relieve your stress, guide us along our ways. So just understand that. And with that, I wish you the best. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope it's safe. Remember, love one another. Don't stress out each other. Don't treat each other bad. Watch every word that comes out of your mouth. Think about what you say. Every step you take, imagine Christ God in the room. Would you still make the decisions that you make if God was right there in front of you? And with that, I leave you, folks. God bless.
Dare to imagine, dare to believe in a true love that gave us a brand new beginning. No room for a king, no celebration and no ceremony in that little town. No, nobody will think this is the story of the coming glory. Can you hear the prayers the people pray? Can you see the skies begin to break when heaven and earth were face to face? Oh, how the world forever changed, for God is with us. With us.